The vibration of change. That magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change? Hello, everybody. Welcome. You might be listening live on 1150 AM KKNW in the Seattle area, TransformationTalkRadio.com, anywhere around the world, on Facebook Live on my professional page or on Transformation Talk Radio's page, or after the fact on one of the dozens of podcasts or YouTube channels this goes up on. But wherever and whenever, you're going to be so grateful you're joining us here today, because I think that we are going to be talking about probably one of the most pertinent topics there is today. And you may think it's one thing, but I promise you it's probably not what you're expecting. But before we get into that, I want to say hello to the people behind the technology. Good morning, Benny.
Hi, Christine.
How are you doing today?
Doing okay. You know, getting a little closer to the old festivities, the Halloween event that we're always big in, you know, we always love it here. Oh, we actually added a chili cook-off. So now your chances are that much richer if you decide to come in and try it yourself.
Cool. Well, you know, Benny, you always seem to win the best costume.
Well, I did.
Award.
I did in previous years. Last year's, I actually was a little late to the party. It was an earlier afternoon. I didn't get online fast enough. I know my Les Grossman from Tropic Thunder crushed it, but unfortunately, it wasn't available to be seen by anybody. But this year, I've got another little, you know, secret squirrel there.
Yeah. Well, make sure you share pictures.
Oh, yeah. You know, I will.
Yeah. And hello, Jacob at TTR. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back, but that was a great time for me, of course.
Yeah, well, it's fabulous that you got married. You shared photos with us earlier. Beautiful, beautiful woman. You guys are an adorable couple.
I
wish you many years of happiness.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And I'm really excited about our guest today. He's been on the show before, and I loved my conversation before. And, you know, when I came across one of his YouTube videos recently, I thought, oh my goodness, we have to have a conversation about this. And the person I'm talking about is Kyle Cease. He's a New York Times bestselling author, but he got started in comedy and acting, and he's now a motivational speaker. So I think it's sort of a new version of a triple threat. As a comedian, he had two number one Comedy Central specials and was voted as the number one ranking on Comedy Central Stand-Up Showdown. He acted in various movies, including 10 Things I Hate About You, which I rewatched recently. It's a wonderful movie. He's made over 100 TV and movie appearances and talked to some of the really big names out there. And he's spoken in front of Fortune 500 companies as well. And he's got this channel, this website, this program, this mission called Living Out Loud. I would like to welcome our guest today, Kyle Cease. Hi, Kyle.
Hi. It's so good to see you.
It's so nice to see you too. I think last time we were actually on audio only.
Yeah.
So, you know, today we get to see each other's faces. So, you know, if we make funny faces, we'll, you know.
They get to see how absolutely ripped I am. So, thank you. No, you know, what's so weird is this is the first time I've done a show since COVID started where I heard my resume read again. You know what I mean? Like all the things you just said, which are thank you for reading that. But there, it's so weird how irrelevant those things are in my body. You know, and I don't mean it like, I mean it like to show every listener, how much are you already no longer what you were in like 2010, what you understood, what your achievements were, what your story is, what your identity is. Like, you know, it's interesting. I forgot that I did like those movies and that Comedy Central career. I mean, I know they're there, but like, it is a different life. And I think part of the reason is because of what we're going to talk about today, which is our consciousness is rising rapidly. Mm-hmm. And when the consciousness rises rapidly, it purges old stories and identities and darkness and addictions and habits and everything else that's buried inside our body. So it's interesting because I'm like, if someone was to say, what's Kyle do now? I actually don't even know how to describe it because I don't think it's motivation. I don't think it's, I mean, it hopefully is motivating, but it's kind of identifying, you know, what is happening from a universal view versus a specific political side or like what the hell is going on in the world, right? Yeah. And what's going on in the world is also going on with each of us. Like the same darkness is being coming to light inside and in the world, right? So it was just interesting to like go back to kind of a linear timeline as you read my biography, right? It was a timeline.
Right.
You know what I mean? I still thankful you read it. That doesn't sound like, you know.
Well, and you know, you're in the same body, you know, mm-hmm. who did all those things.
Am I though?
And of course you've got lots of followers and you are helping to transform so many lives. But what you're talking about, I really, really, really resonate with because it's about identifying belief systems that aren't true. It's looking at our illusions about our world, but of course that brings it back to our illusions about self, our illusions about identity. And as we begin to face the illusions and release some of those belief structures, it kind of puts us, I think of it as this difference between being on a motorboat with a GPS where you know exactly where you're going. And instead you're sort of on a raft getting tossed out on the ocean. And it's like, okay, I'm hanging on. Let's see where this is going. And it's really kind of disconcerting at moments, but it's also freeing.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. The motorboat analogy you just had, I think is fantastic because like one of the things we're losing is our ability to grab onto an external thing that we identify as ourselves, right? Like whether it's a person that we're dating, whether it's the job we have, whether it's what it could just be, what am I doing in the future? Like you can't kind of grab onto a tangible future because it's now like that was a floor in a building and now you're in an elevator and the elevator's going up and you can't get off any floor and now it's going too fast and you have to just like bring your arms in and we're in a place where one of the most limiting questions and actually defeating questions is what do I do, because the doer is being killed right now. Yeah. And, you know, I'll give you an example of a crazy synchronicity that weirdly happened for someone else regarding me, which usually I look at the synchronicities that happened in my life, which also this was, but I just want to tell you a weird thing that happened 2 days ago. I went to go pick up a smoothie and I didn't bring my phone because I like to walk to the place and clear my mind and stuff. So I'm the weird guy at a table that isn't looking down at anything, right? I'm just kind of looking up. So I see people, I see like a little, you know, waterfall, different things like that. And this woman who is probably in her 20s is walking with her mom. And the mom is saying something to her. I don't hear what it is. And the woman looks at me and sees that I'm just kind of looking back at them. And she just starts crying. She just starts bawling, right? Aww. And I hear the mom go, what? And she's kind of looking down and turned away. And she says something. And I'm realizing it's she knows who I am. But what I didn't know was a second before, she said, I'm trying to figure out what to do spiritually. And the mom said, if you just open your eyes, the universe will just give you answers outside too. Or something like that. The mom said something like that. You'll just look outside and you'll just get the answer. And then the second after she said that, I'm sitting there just with no one with me and no phone. And she ended up sitting with me. And I told her all that's going on. And she's saying, I'm trying to figure out what to do with my life. And I said, we're at a place where what do I do doesn't work anymore. It's a the reason is, because what you need to picture instead is that God or the universe is going into our soul and pulling the stuff inside out. And it's almost like our what do I do energy is us trying to close that up. And there's a lot of people that we've learned in our spiritual world that we got to focus on the light and be in the light. Well, right now, the darkness is trying to come to light. So if you're in this fake positive, it's just to bury all the crap that's inside. And right now, the universe is trying to unveil to us who our media is, who our government really is, how deep and weird that goes. Like, how, you know, and then also weirdly at the same time, while it's coming up in the world, the deepest traumas from your past are coming up in your body. Mm-hmm. So you're just sitting here feeling all this weird crap come up, and you're seeing weird, you know, the only difference between now in our world and 10 years ago was many more people are seeing what's true. In other words, there has been horrible things, human trafficking and weird, you know, crazy things that have been going on, and big pharma always had a stranglehold on people, everything else. But now the only difference is it's right in front of you. You had the convenience of not of going to your same job every day and not having to look at this.
Right.
And now it's like God's going, nope, this is the reality that I need you to see exists so we can heal it.
Yeah. Right. And I find that perspective of only looking at the light, looking at the bright side, you know, thinking positively, my deep knowingness is that to transform, to move forward, we have to be energetically connected to the now, right? Yes. And part of being energetically connected to now, which is our launching point, because you can only get there from here,
right,
is to stand next to the truth and be in some version of resonance with it. Not that we want to create that, but rather this acceptance of, ah, this is where we're at, because otherwise we're saying not this, not this, not this, and we can't launch forward. We have to sort of be connected with the now, and part of the now is seeing the darkness, because we are on this major launching point in our evolution, and we can't get there unless we're from here.
Right. Well, it's interesting you say connect to the now, because when we say that, we know that, and we've heard Eckhart and all that for years, but here's the weirdest thing. Is if we really take in, what is it we've been connected to? Like, in other words, we are in the now, and we've always been in the now, but what has our mind been on? It's been connected to this. It's been connected to an invisible, arbitrary future high, and then it hits future lows, right? Like, in other words, like, it's not at a here, it's been looking for what I like to call jackpot highs, where our default setting is an accomplishment or a high or winning the person and getting the job or whatever and getting more money, more whatever. And so we were never here. We were actually attuned to being, instead of being at 0 point, we always need to be at three above it. And so we've been in this kind of bizarre wobbly positive three and negative three depression. You get what I'm saying? And
right, yeah.
And all of that's contained within the 0 point now. And if we're in the now right now, and we realize that if there is time, the universe is moving time its way right now. And we want to harmonize with the time at its pace, not our constant movie of a faster future that's really the escape of this time. So there's this incredible all-encompassing now that's right here that is going, if you want to be connected to this now and you want to really feel the connection to the now, we have to, first of all, kill off the part of you that's only about the high. And I have to bring to light the part of you that's been avoiding the low. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make it painful. So as you sit and meditate and really listen to the now or connect with nature, you're going to feel trauma from when you were hit when you were a kid, or you're going to feel, you know, a shame that's been buried in your body, or abandonment. It's coming to light. Weirdly, it is for all of humanity at the exact same time, because the world mirrors you. And so every time we're trying to escape to a positive right now, it just is going to make it way worse, because it's going, nope, whether you want it or not, you're on an operating table, and I'm going to pull the gunk out of your body that no longer serves you. And you keep trying to get up and run out the room to some positive thing. Well, that crap's still in your body, and I'm going to pull it out. And it's going to require shocking truths. It's going to require sitting with, you know, it's going to require some people, I think, going crazy at discovering how much this is the matrix, and that none of this is what you thought. And it's crazy. Yeah.
And I think that the thing that is either already been difficult for people who have been awakening during this time, or it's going to be incredibly difficult for those people once it sort of smacks them in the face, is that there is deep evil on this planet. And, you know, as somebody who trained in healing, taught healing for many years, working in the light, it's the kind of thing where, you know, I mean, I've seen entities come out of people before, you know, I mean, I didn't believe in entities. There's darkness that's there, and I felt them come in, and it's like, well, even if it's not in my belief system, I'm seeing it. So therefore, maybe I need to change my belief system. And the same thing has happened with me relating to some of the stuff that's unfolded over the last year and a half, where I see, oh, this source that I used to trust is lying. They're lying a lot. Well, I knew they lied about this, but I would never have imagined they would have lied about that. You know, like it's not just about releasing the trauma, which is an essential part of, you know, bringing more light into the body and bring more light onto the planet, but it's also deconstructing our belief systems, which I think is one of the things that makes us a little crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting you're saying this. And one of the things that will free us is just acknowledging these darknesses and these things that are that, you know, wow, the media has been under, I knew they were corporate run, but I didn't realize it was like, they're trying to kill me, you know, like I didn't realize like all this stuff. Right. And now we're in this bizarre new world where it's to light to a lot of people that's the case. Right. And yeah. So the freedom is in knowing that. The freedom is in acknowledging that. The freedom, because you'll notice the people that are the loudest, most non-open, you know, I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying that they're the ones that are still trying to stay within the narrative that, you know, there's nothing going on. And so it's almost like the matrix it's getting so obvious right now. Like it's just the amount of logical arguments that are against the main narrative that like they're now louder and more confrontational, because if that's the case, then that means everything I've ever believed is a lie and I don't know who the hell I am. And so you'll notice that the loudest, most violent, most non-collaborative energies are the ones that don't want to look at that means I'm what I think I am is dead, because I don't know the world through any other lens.
Yeah.
Right.
And that concept of that part being dead, it's like an ego death.
Right.
And that threatens not only the ego, but also the body. It's like our ego and bodies are so connected that we feel like we're going to die. I mean, I've had moments in my life where, you know, something transformational was unfolding and I literally thought I'm going to die. I had this sense of panic.
Yes.
When, you know, it was really about letting go of a piece of the ego that I had great attachment to. So it is very threatening. And, you know, Kyle, my perspective is that, you know, think in terms of the individual as we we start out, you know, the tribe is our family, and then eventually the tribe is our peers, and eventually, hopefully, if we are growing psychologically, we will individuate and no longer believe everything our parents said, no longer trust everything our peers say. Right. And it feels to me like we're on a collective version of that, you know, that, you know, there are a bunch of children who still believe the authority figures, whatever the authority figures say. And then there are the teenagers who will rebel against aspects of it, but still feel like they have to stay in the belief system of their tribe. Maybe it's a political party, you know, or you know, whatever. What's your sense of our trajectory here?
I believe that where I think we're headed is it's almost like it's going to be like a nightmare. And at the same time, it's going to be a nightmare that's like a clearing. Like this is almost like an ayahuasca journey here, where I do believe there's been some crazy dark agendas planned for a long time, but I believe what they didn't understand or plan on is our awareness is too high for their timelines to work fully. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, our frequency keeps changing on an exponential level. And you'll notice right now, if you try to plan, if I say to you right now, why don't we go to Hawaii in 6 months? You and I both know, we don't know if there'll be a Hawaii or a plane or anything. So we can't really make long-term plans. Well, the thing that's needed for heavy agendas to continue is a straight linear timeline that's goal based, right? And so what we have is this thing that wasn't fully planned on, I think, which is a great awakening. And you know, some of these things were planned 30 years ago, and they don't include an awakening. And the one thing that makes darkness lose is light, and awakening is light. And bringing what's going on to the surface just suddenly makes it a crazy numbers game. And you have not only as the light forms in people's awareness of what's going on, but it forms in even people that were carrying out agendas. And so people that were doing negative things are going to have their own whistleblower shifts or go, what am I doing? And I just don't believe I believe with all my heart, it's like the container of where we are is a higher density now. And will be exponentially higher and higher. And darkness just shows up to die here. And, you know, it's going to do what it can to take as many things with it. But its loss is that it's to light. It's that moment where Tina Turner looks at Ike and realizes she can leave him. You know, and that, you know, that right. Yeah. And you're not that strong. You're actually scared. And you know, there's not that many of you, and there's way more of us. And that, you know, your power is our fear. And our first process is to realize this is the truth. And then the second process to go through a denial stage and the five stages of grief or whatever. And then we discover if that's a lie, then my story that I'm just a person who has a mediocre job is a lie. And maybe I'm going to turn into Braveheart here and get in my power. And some people are going to move from victim to strong, you know, fighters. And some people are going to move from fighters to kind of a higher frequency, Mr. Rogers, you know, level that is here to hold space for the higher frequency. You know, my contribution is the work that I do. And then at the same time, it's doing the work. Like I'm meditating all the time, at least 2 hours a day. And as I meditate, the patterns inside of my body that I thought were Kyle are cried out almost every day. Like every night I go to bed and there's a new level of me. And I believe very much that the world is a full-on mirror of me. So I believe as I meditate this, I mean, I believe it's literally a mirror of me and yours is a mirror of you, right? Perfect. So everyone listening, imagine that you're just playing a virtual reality game. And if you're totally focused only on what's going on outside of you, then you're implying that it's real and you're keeping a part of the trauma in your body alive that you could be being there for. So as you're more in the now, the more than the now doesn't really care about circumstances. It cares about healing the trauma that's inside and then just being here. So my trajectory is the greatest awakening ever. And, my trajectory also is a lot of loss. And a lot of that loss, some of the things are work, and a lot of things that we actually didn't need. And some of it is going to be people close to us, and there will be a lot of loss. And then, we're going to have to find spirit and source on a level we've never seen before. But that's kind of the way that source gets into our lives. It's like, it doesn't do it through achievement. If it did that, then all child stars would be fine. And, when you achieve a bunch on the egoic level, you don't have any reason to connect to source, right? Like you can, but it's in lows that we really find everything. Mm-hmm. So,
and
yeah.
Sometimes I think that the, that many have awakened sort of ahead of others so that we have become aware that this loss is coming. I feel like, oh gosh, about a year ago, I started experiencing so much grief,
Yes.
And at that point I understood that, some of what was going on, and I awakened to some of the real evil, but it was kind of like this clearing out. And I feel like, some of us are here to be present for others as they're experiencing the loss. And yes, individually, we will also have to process it, because, I already know people who've had, friends who've passed because of that thing. And there are these losses that may happen en masse, including loss of our belief systems, loss of our daily lives, our routines, but loss of people we love. But it's the sort of thing where the grieving that we've already done, as we've let go of aspects of our own trauma, so to speak, aspects of our own belief systems, will be there to show up for other people to serve.
Completely. I mean, it's ironic because a lot of people are scared of losing like money and different things like that. Well, let's think about this. Eventually everyone will, because there's going to be a crash, I believe, very soon. And that there's so many other things, but what is going to be on the other side is the number one needed thing on the physical form would be a person who's in their connection to the now. Like the Eckhart Tolles of the world are going to be the most needed people. I mean, there's an energetic hospice that the people who've done the inner work are for the old story. And, so yes, as you move into the now and all that you are, and you really are in the truth, and you've, the people that are doing that have experienced their loss too. And, you never lose what you truly are, ever. Even when you lose your body, you never lose what you truly are.
Right.
You lose everything that's distracted you from what you truly are. And, and obviously—
There's a lot of attachment there. There's a lot of attachment to those things.
Dude, I actually spent this week working on attachment to my 4-year-old daughter. And I have a 4-year-old daughter who means the world to me. She's the most important thing in the world. And I actually was in a deep meditation and questioning if my stuckness to her creates any type of protection from ego and fear, which doesn't quite let God fully protect her, right? Like when you're protecting your kid and making it kind of about you, or there's more of a fear that you're nothing if something happened. That's of course, that's the case. But at the same time, like, we want to create a space for us to be fully in our power to actually protect from a real place of love, right? And so I'm finding attachment in the most never looked at places of attachment, right? Like those are things that, well, with your kids, that's blah, blah, blah. It's like, Well, what am I saying when it's like I'm egoically going to protect or I'm stuck? It's like I'm saying, God, don't, like, I'm actually, you could be creating more harm trying to, like, when you're in fear about everything that could go wrong with something.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, we're here to look at the little attachments that are everywhere and find the truest us that's arising from that and still be in our magic for everyone else, but from a place of love, not fear.
And the attachment to children, I mean, we're mammals, right? So we have great attachment. It's a part of the survival mechanism. And also there's a soul connection with these souls that we birth, that we bring forth. And, you know, I've got two adult sons and, you know, one of them has done that and didn't really want to hear from mom about these things, even though I've, you know, from a research statistician, you know, I've had input on hundreds of clinical trials done, you know, so it's like, I know how to read the scientific literature. I know like what's crap and what's good. And yet, nope. Didn't. And it's like, okay, well, that's his soul choice. Who am I to say that he's on the wrong path? And I've also come to understand that the greater my attachment is to convincing either of my sons about any of this stuff, the more I'm interfering with their path and the more likely I am, as you said before, to cause harm as opposed to cause good.
Well, you know, I think it's really big to really look at what is fear and what is love. Like when we're in a place of trying to show someone that literature, there's a level where we can do it from love. And then there's a level where we're doing it out of our own fear of what that would mean for us. And I can't imagine, you know, for you, what it would be like with your son, but it's amazing if you can have the courage to go, even that, even though you were biologically tied together, even though, you know, you were, he was born and you were handed oxytocin and there's a bond there that's just so deep. To go, even that's attachment. Like maybe you're here to learn unconditional love and release and say, you know, because I know for me and you, I know for me, at least when it sounded like for you in that example, like there, I'm working through a feeling of unseen, like, let me show you this. And, you know, don't you want to see it? And then I'm like, they don't care. Right. Like that's the feeling in my body that I'm here to look through. And like, maybe I'm here to even heal the part of me that feels like I'm supposed to be seen a certain way. Mm-hmm. And is this even about only me showing them this literature? Or is it me also slightly triggered that I can't convince my mom that I'm enough when I do the late night show as a stand-up comic? Yeah. You get what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely. And one of the things I had confusion about in terms of my role, it's like, you know, I've played a role in the healing realm and have shifted over the last few years in a variety of ways. And it's like, okay, so how am I supposed to show up next? Because I know that I'm here for purpose and there are various ways I can show up. And I thought, well, okay, so I work in the consciousness field and I've worked in alternative healing, but I also have this background as a statistician. I've co-authored articles in peer-reviewed medical journals, you know, maybe I'm supposed to get the information out. And every time I've tried to do that, I've gotten pushback and disrespect. And it's like, okay, that's not my role. My role is to have that knowledge. So it sort of validates my knowingness about things, but I'm here to show up as people wake up to, I love how you put it, you know, the energetic hospice of letting their belief systems die and standing beside them. Yeah. And it was this realization and the attachment with my kids, you know, I've had to face that and, you know, cleared that, you know, I'm still clearing that, I'm sure, in a variety of ways. But yeah, it's like the love, the place of love doesn't matter. What somebody's path is, because it's not up to us. You know, everybody's an individual soul.
Well, and do you notice when we were looking at what's my role in this, I feel the attachment in that question, right? Like, you know, like I need to be something if I do, like, can you hear the childhood pattern of like, because I have that too. That's why I'm saying it. If I don't know my role, what? I'm not enough. My parents will divorce. I'll be abandoned. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like the what do I do aspect that implies there's a separate self that isn't source driven, that has to, what's my role in this, right? And if I don't know, you know, I'll be shamed or my mom will walk out again or whatever it is, right?
And it's interesting because over the last year, I was working on a book, and all of a sudden I became really compelled to do deep dives into what was going on. And it's like, you know, I wanted to get my book out there, and yet it's like, it's not important anymore. I mean, I think it will still be birthed completely, but for my stage of evolution, it was like, I have to let go of any attachment to that, because that's not where I'm at in this moment. I'm not compelled to bring that forward.
It's a very, like, I need to get my book out.
Yeah, yeah,
to me,
yeah,
to like, me too, is a very 2019 and earlier thinking. It's a very, like, one thing for the people that do what we do and people that are screaming to get their voice out. That's an old paradigm too. And even the fight for freedom of speech, which I understand and we need, at one point we're all just a collection of egos screaming at each other. And we need to have now freedom to listen to a frequency that's past this, right? Like, that's the one thing nobody can take from you. There's no one that can take your ability to listen all the way to source and listen to other people and listen to your ego inside. We're screaming for freedom of speech. I think we're done talking. I think all of us need to shut up for a while. You know what I mean? And like,
interesting.
Like that, even you with the most important information for people very close to you is realizing, I don't know that that's my role, because that's the upgrade. It's like you and I are here. I mean, I'm still talking, but I'm receiving new content every day that is eliminating my old egoic need to say something, mm-hmm. right? And I'm now upgrading my ability to hear even when I'm talking, right? And so it comes through channeling even more, but at the same time, like, I am here to hear so much more and get better at that, right? And mm-hmm. because there's so much to hear right now. And whenever we're triggered, we're living in the ego's role of feeling unheard. So we're trying to be heard more than hear.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And the transcending of the ego is to hear more than be heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I see with my own pattern growing up that I didn't feel seen and heard. And therefore, you know, I got into teaching hundreds, you know, like it's just getting my voice out there. So I can see that there was a part of it that was my soul carrot, but so much of it was being ego led. And, and yet still some of us have souls saying now's the time to show up.
Yes.
And it's not like, okay, what am I going to do next week necessarily? It's like, what am I inspired to do today to show up?
Or even just now, right?
Yeah.
Like, am I running a pattern or am I listening? You know what I mean? Am I just in a deflection of a pattern, which also might need to be played out more to show you more? Like, that's also fine if you're in a pattern, but you know, when I wake up now, it's at least 2 hours of meditation. And to me, meditating is listening to first of all, I'm listening to the truest frequency of authority, which makes what we know as these dark powers look like little kids. Like, we used to look at them as like the peak of authority.
Right.
And now I'm like, no, I'm connecting to a higher thing. So you look like it's shining a light all over you and you look silly, you know, and I'm feeling love for you to those people, you know? Yeah. And so, yeah, that's exciting. It's heavy, it's hard, but it's exciting.
And the individual work, you know, that we do is, it's something we're called to do on a daily basis. And part of that is through the awareness that you can take from meditation into driving in your car, you know, navigating the stay 6 feet apart from each other with a mask on in line at the grocery store, you know, the external world gives us plenty of opportunity to tune in and be aware of our reactions, our responses, our beliefs, and our woundedness associated with every moment.
I think that it's not when those things are announced, you know, stay in the house, wear a mask, six feet apart, it's not being taken into account the spiritual aspect of the pattern shifting that we're going through. Like, in other words, the agenda might be to keep them contained or stop them from congregating together or, you know, stop them from planning something or, you know, whatever. But what it also is doing is making people like suddenly, you know, when you go to a meditation retreat, you can't talk for 10 days, right? You go to we're all going inward. We're walking through the store with our faces covered, like really listening more. You know, when you're making everyone stay home for 2 years, we're all having this giant meditation crazy, you know, like, it's like, we're all, it's like God gave us a timeout for 2 years, you know, and I don't think that those things are considered when, you know, they're being pushed on us, you know, they're thinking it's theirs is out of fear. And you can make love out of any of this, right? Like you know, now we only look in each other's eyes when we talk, you know, at the store, right? And when we talk, we are more selective about what we say. And there is this much more connection. I obviously would prefer us not to have the masks overall, but I find that I do have, do you know this feeling when you're in the store and the mall or whatever, and you have a mask on, you're more inward with yourself. Hmm. I'm not this giant extroverted looking to find people to say hi to person. I'm like in this kind of inner place. I'm not advocating for the mask at all, but I'm saying like there is a silver lining to every dark agenda.
Yeah. Speaking of the silver lining and the dark agenda, I know that there are many in the consciousness community who felt like they'd finally found their tribe, right? Mm-hmm. Who have now got a different belief than others within the same tribe. And they're having to feel the discomfort of not being a part of that same tribe. Or there are many people who felt an integral part of a family or a friend group. And suddenly, because of their awakening, their belief systems changing, they either don't feel connected with or are being somehow banished from that tribe. What do you have to say about the benefits of that?
Well, you know, even if it comes to a speaker, a therapist, an author, we are at a time where we are done giving our power to authority. And you could go to any spiritual center 5 years ago. You could go to, I would speak at some consciousness event and there'd be, you know, 1,000 seats filled with people. Well, those people's new identity was, I follow spirituality. Okay. I'm not following my heart necessarily. I could be. I'm not following, you know. At one point, I used to go to those spiritual centers. And then at one point, I believed that transformational content is like, there was a book I read that said this called Vedanta, but it's true. It's like the pole and pole vaulting. You need the pole to get in the air. And then at one point, you have to let go of it. And
love that.
And I don't want to make my identity, I follow this speaker. I want to know what the ultimate version of me is. And life is going to scramble your patterns and say, okay, here, this speaker point blank said that they believe this thing that's, you know, is not the truth. Okay. So you can feel where they're at and you can ask yourself, they were great for school, you know, up till now, but we all know when we heard of the weird thing that happened to our third grade teacher at one point, you know, or fourth grade. And then you go, well, they were great to get me through fourth grade. And then, you know, now they're not even teaching at that school anymore. And I think you end up learning past some of the, if you're really following your heart, you end up having to let go of every external authority.
And the authority part is hard in some ways, and yet I think what's even more difficult is letting go of the peers, the ones who we identified with on the journey with us, as opposed to the authority figure.
Yes.
It's almost like again, it's sort of like feeling like you're on that raft again. You know, you were on a motorboat there again for a while with this, mm-hmm. this tribe you connected with, and suddenly you're on the raft and you're by yourself, or there, you know, and you see some other people hanging onto their rafts, but it can be a very lonely experience.
That's the thing. So what if you are learning from this, that the constant connection to the peers was actually your avoidance of feeling a trauma of loneliness so you can heal that? In other words, what if all these things were unconscious attachments and addictions that stopped you from finding your true inner light? Like, sometimes it's the best thing that can happen to us to lose a group of people that we were connected to. You know, in the 20 years that I was a stand-up comic, I noticed the ones that became the greatest, most famous comedians were usually by themselves. Like they would come in, you'd see a kind of a collection of B-level comics that were really good. They would all be together. They'd be this kind of tribe of comedians. There's the alternative comedy scene, and you'd see the same 10, and they're always drinking with each other, whatever. But you'd see Louis C.K. come in, or you'd see Bill Burr come in, or you'd see Dane Cook come in, and they were usually alone at one table writing stuff. And then they would go do the most edgy, amazing thing, and then they'd leave. You know, Carlin was like that. Like all these like comics that were the best, it was like they were at the cutting edge with themselves. And you hear that with the greatest of everything. I was literally just working out to a motivational video and hearing how Kobe Bryant would show up so much earlier than the other players and then leave so much later. And same with Michael Jordan. And it's that being tied to the peers that stops you from your soul's edge. And and if you live at your soul's edge, you'll still find a few peers that also live at their soul's edge. And I think you'll become permission for more people to do it. I have way less friends now than I did a few years ago. And I love it. I would rather have five incredible friends than 100 mediocre ones, and and then become my own mediocrity as I am scared to lose their opinion of me. And you know, I gotta say, even in this interview, I feel a new edge in my body that I didn't feel before we started. Like I'm, and I feel permission through you in that I can feel we're in a similar place and you're realizing these things, and there's a bond here that's like, okay, I'm not alone in this. Right. And so life is going, hey, just stay on your edge. I got people who see you. I got things that are, it's fine. You're going to become so much more fulfilled in not needing to just be a collection of friends who you realize were only bonding based on belief systems anyway. It wasn't actual friendship ever. It's like we were bonding with our friends over what sports team we liked or what city we're from or what high school we went to. What about,
what type of healing you facilitate, you know, it's the same sort of thing. And it's facing those attachments, and it kind of hurts sometimes when we realize that our connections, although there was heart involved, it wasn't this pure connection that we so long to have.
It was actually almost everything was trauma connection. I'm your friend because I'm scared to lose you. We bond on our hate for this other thing, or we bond, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, or we both had narcissistic parents or whatever it is. Yes. It's that trauma bonding. Yeah.
You want to get to a place where you're whole with yourself, whether there's people there or not. And then life will go, now I'm going to bring people that add to you, but aren't like here to help you avoid being lonely. Like this loneliness is our job now to conquer and be with and be present for, because Teal Swan has a great thing about loneliness, and that this is all about. The thing that remains as everything falls apart right now is the experience of loneliness. And this is here to be healed, because in my eyes, you can only experience loneliness if you don't really believe or understand there is a source.
Right.
If you're connected to spirit, there's no such thing as boredom or loneliness. Uh-huh. Right.
And it's interesting because for me, the ways in which I have felt lonely, and you know, I've got some friends who still buy into the fear-based stuff and don't want to get together for a meal or whatever. You know, it's been sort of interesting to see this unfold. But my loneliness has been less about connection with people and more about are there other people out there with who are seeing what I'm seeing? And for me,
yes,
getting to connect with some people who are awake in the same way and who potentially can help me let go of more of my belief systems because they're more awake. I feel like, okay, there are other people, you know, hanging onto their rafts and we're seeing the same ocean.
Well, I'll tell you something really interesting. Both, there are way more people than see this than you think. Like the, I believe it's like half.
Oh, right? Wow.
Yeah, I really do. I think that some are in denial of it, but seeing it and playing with it. Mm-hmm. But then here's the other thing is our limitation now, you're in mine right here, is this sentence, when will everyone else see it? Because if the world is mirroring you, your declaration to the world now in the mirror is, I'm helpless until others see it. And so the world will mirror to you that, where it goes, okay, I'm going to show you a bunch of people not seeing it. Because we're not, that'd be like Michael Jordan saying, I'll be a good basketball player when everyone is. Right. And so what instead we need to do is go, this thing is a mirror of me. So even, and by the way, even if no one else on the planet sees it, the truth is the truth. Right. If I'm at a restaurant and I see someone spill milk and then everyone else in the restaurant says that didn't happen, it's still a fact what I saw. Right. So we're here to learn our truth is our truth. Even it's not numbers make it more true. Right. It's not, we're at 50%. So now it's true. Mm-hmm. It's us knowing it's true. And clearing out the attachments that say everyone else needs to, sure, for it to change to full truth. Do you get what I'm saying? It will be absolutely full truth in our knowing of it.
Yeah. And for me, it's been less about like, I mean, yes, I would like more of the world to wake up because I think that it's going to be an amazing transformation after we let go of some things, but it's just knowing that there are some other people out there that to me has, it has sort of filled that void that I felt because, I mean, truth is truth and we can be fully connected to it or connect to it, you know, sequentially. But there's something validating about knowing that there are others out there who are seeing some of the same stuff. And it's not about making it more true or not. It's about sort of the psychological connection that there are other people going through a similar process.
Well, you know, if you want to do an experiment to really look, because it's been covered from you, if you just go onto YouTube, okay, and you scroll down and you find any story that's a mainstream news story that's part of that agenda, right, that announces something, right, if you click that video and you look at the likes to dislikes, the dislikes are usually about 10 to 1. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And they actually will edit those.
They can't keep up with it because every story, like if I right now found one of those narratives and set one of those mainstream narratives that said, you know, whatever, they're ready for the kids to get them, whatever. Yeah. It's like I sent an image to my friend today. It was, 474 likes to 4,400 dislikes. And then the one, 239 likes to 1,800 dislikes. So when you go down the comments, they're all this, our perspective,
right?
Right. So our remaining weakness is the belief that everyone needs to see that. Mm-hmm. That's our still saying, I'm not free. Until you can feel the trauma in the body that's like trying to create, that's the new outcome that the ego wants. Mm-hmm. And you got to trust that tipping point's on your inside and go, okay, I still have attachment to the world and still see myself as a small, separate being in a world. But what if this is the exact same as your dream? Okay. Imagine you're dreaming something. Every person in your dream when you're asleep is created by you, right? So you're in this dream waiting for everyone in the dream to get something, but the you in the dream is also not you because the whole dream is inside of you, right? Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying?
Right.
So what we got to do is keep moving to our oneness, because I believe this whole thing is no different than you're dreaming this. And we're moving to a place of oneness that has no separation and is aware that the people who don't see it are trying to show you inside the things you don't see inside of you. And they represent that. And the ones that there's a part of us that's arguing really loudly, there's a part of us that's crying, that's a part of us, that's everything in the world right now. And you know,
we run out of time. Kyle, what's your website so people can connect with you further?
Yeah, evolvingoutloud.com or kylecease.com. If you go to YouTube and type in Kyle Cease, K-Y-L-E-C-E-A-S-E, I put out about a video a week. But our best thing is we have a membership site where I do a Wednesday night call and I answer questions. We have different people that speak and do breath work. On Sunday, I do a exploring oneness talk that I think is my favorite thing I do there. And then I have all these great past events live, and it's $29 a month, you know, which is nothing. And you're going to shift out so much stuff, you know? So there's that, and you can just see, or you can go to YouTube and see all my stuff for free.
And it's fabulous content. And, Kyle, thank you for your presence, your showing up for yourself, which has this ripple effect for your reality, my reality, our reality. And I thank you for joining me here today.
I'm honored to be with you, and it's good to see you. And obviously the people that do that work find each other, and here we are, you know.
Yeah, great. And thank you all viewers and listeners. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you'd like to empower yourself to step further into your vibration of change, please visit my website at christineupchurch.com, where you can learn more about my insights, upcoming events, and private sessions.